Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Dan from Desert Island Dicks. This episode features a conversation with Athena Kugblenyu, and it was an absolute pleasure talking to her. I always enjoy talking to all of our guests. This one felt especially enlightening and educating, so I hope you enjoy it as well. Now, I think this is going to be the last one for a little while. We need to regroup and get some guests for the next series, which will be along at some point in the future. So, obviously, if you want some more dicks in that time, if you're a new listener, then look, we've got a huge back catalogue featuring just an amazing array of brilliant comedians and other guests as well, such as Chef Tom Kerridge. He's not a comedian, but he's still funny. Jay Rayner, he's a food critic, but he's still funny. It's all entertaining, that's what I'm saying. So just have a little delve. And if you are enjoying it, I know we've got a few new listeners at the minute, which is lovely to see. Please do give us a review and a rating on iTunes, because it gives us a real boost in all kinds of boring ways, like charts and metrics and blah, blah, blah. But it helps us punch above our weight a bit, so it's really greatly appreciated. Another way you can get involved is to come and see us live in October as part of the Cheerful Earful Comedy Podcast Festival. And you can Google that, or you can find the link on our Twitter at DixPod, or in the description somewhere of this podcast, I have put a link to it as well. So it'll be lovely to see you there in person. And well, just hang out, really. You know what? I barely leave my house a lot of the time. I work from home. I go and pick the kids up, take them to school and back, and that's about it. You know, it's very nice to get out and see real people now and again. I mean, I'm hoping I will leave the house before October, but it would just be nice to meet you in real life. That all sounds a bit bleak. It's not bleak. It's fine. Everything is good, really. I'm fine. Look, I better stop talking. Let's get on and have the podcast now. It's Desert Island Dicks with Athena Kugblenyu. Hi, I'm Dan Benedictus, and welcome to Desert Island Dicks, the show that sees you marooned on a desert island after a plane crash with the worst people and worst things imaginable. Who they are and why they're a dick is up to our guest, and here to share their Desert Island Dicks with us today is comedian and writer Athena Kugblenyu. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Look, today it's a sunny day. How are you feeling? Are you feeling optimistic? Are you ready to rant about dicks? How do we find you today?
This is literally the best time to record a podcast about things you hate. Like, it couldn't be a better climate to just say everything's shit. It's just horrible. And do you know when you know things are shit? When you have to learn about things you don't care about. I hated Brexit because I had to learn about trade. Who cares? I don't care. I don't know about any of this stuff. I don't want to know about export, import, things. I don't know about borders. I just want to, you know, eat my donuts and watch Netflix. And now I've got to learn about interest rates and quantitative easing. That word's come back. It's just, It's all terrible. Bills, gas, electric. Horrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm having a lovely day though, otherwise.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? Like, I always think, you know, when it's winter and you kind of think, God, I wish it was summer. Everything's great in summer. And you forget that things can be bad when it's sunny as well. Do you know what I
mean? You can't enjoy the sun. Like, it's getting in the way of my cornetto. Yeah. You know, I should be outside eating something sweet and cold, and I'm not. I'm inside looking at graphs, and every graph is just a line that's pointing down, you know, and that can't be good. It can't be good.
Yeah, I keep sort of saying to my wife, like, I don't understand this. Like, they say that this is more expensive, but then if it's more expensive for them, how come they're making such big profits? What's going on? You know what I mean? You know, when you sort of, you know, sometimes the BBC site, they go, here's what that means. And there's lots of bullet points. I feel like I need that for my whole life now. I just need to, like, click my fingers and someone in a nice suit just goes, well, here's what that means for you.
Yeah, it's definitely what it means is that people are making money, but it's not us. It's the wrong people. It's not the chicken shop people. You know what I mean? It's the wrong people. So I think if you've not been in, and I'm vegan as well, but if you've not been in a chicken shop in the last 6 months, you should not be allowed to make any more money. You know what I mean? That's the line. And I'll happily step into one and step out again. You know, and that's we need to do something. It's getting out of control.
Absolutely. All right. Well, look, I mean, I think you've come straight out the gates, just raring to go. And I don't want to hold you back any longer because I think you're just in prime Desert Island Dicks mode. This is good to see. Who's going to be the first person joining you on the island?
I mean, I don't know anyone who would disagree with this. It's got to be Andrew Neil. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm a veteran of the show this week. I used to stay up and watch him and Portillo and Diane Abbott chew the fat, and it was okay. It was entertaining, but he's getting out of hand now. If you don't know, maybe some people might not know who he is. He's just like this old guy, and he's a journalist, and he is as irrelevant as anything can be, and he's wrong about everything. I can't remember the last time he's been right about something. If you want to have an opinion on something, go to Andrew Neil's timeline on his Twitter and then just think the opposite of what he's said. Everything is just horrible. And I don't know why he's so bitter. As a wealthy person who's genuinely always been in gainful employment in spite of incompetence, I don't know why he's so angry. Mm. And he writes for The Spectator, which is a horrible magazine that says horrible things for no reason. There's no reason for it. Like, we did nothing to this magazine. His latest article, editorial, whatever, is about how women shouldn't do comedy, and Mock the Week was killed by women and people who like not being horrible. Yeah, he's just horrible. I don't know what to say. I mean, I thought what annoys me about these people is like, they're like, I thought GB News would be the end of him. You know, he started GB News, he made a big deal about it. It was horrible. And then he left the country after 2 weeks. Who does that? Who literally starts a news channel and goes, oh, actually, this is quite bad, and runs away whilst it burns, right? And I thought that would be the end of it. And he's just everywhere. He was interviewing Rishi Sunak on Channel 4 the other day. Can I just clarify? Am I on the island with this person?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but I have weaponry, right? What do I have, a chainsaw?
Well, I mean, it depends what's in the plane, what you can salvage or make, I guess. So, I mean, I guess there'll be shards of bent metal and stuff like that.
Right.
Or there'll be rocks. I don't know. Depends what you can fashion. I mean, Tom Hanks, he had that, you know, that sort of ice skate that he attached. He made like an axe out of an ice skate and cast away. I can't guarantee it's there, but I think, you know, I reckon you'll figure it out. I feel like you've got enough drive in you to make this work.
Well, luckily, if you're going to crash a plane, crash a UPS plane because they have stuff on it. You don't want to be on like a holiday plane. It's just flip-flops. You know, he had parcels. So there was useful things in that. You know, people buy toasters and things like that. Anyway, I just wanted to check because it just dawned on me that I'm putting him on this island and I've got to live with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be able to shut him up. I'd stick the ball in his face so he'd shut up.
You know, he's just one of those sort of people who's like, complains about everything being woke or new or changing or different. And it's like, a lot of these people, you just got to think, okay, but is it directly affecting you? How does it affect your life? Like you said, you've done all right in life. Like, why are you angry about these things that have no impact on you?
Yeah, there's a weird dogmatic stance to these individuals where they just get very excited over stuff that means nothing. And then they go home and they eat their goose liver and caviar, and they drink very expensive red wines, and they think that's a good day's work, and it's not, and it's disruptive, and they're very amplified people, and they need to go. Piers Morgan's another one. Just that whole cohort, they need to just all go. They're insufferable.
Yeah, it's just that perennial thing of kind of saying how they're being silenced whilst saying that to millions of people on it, you know, complain about the mainstream media when they're part of it. And it's just, come on, guys, just shut the fuck up and calm down.
And the way they've sort of misappropriated the word woke. Mm. Oh, we don't like that. That's a bit woke. So what they mean is, oh, I have to learn something. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I have to exhibit a bit of empathy. Oh, that sounds a bit woke to me. It's basically a word that they've used to take something that's sugary and delicious and beneficial, and they just pour bleach on it. Oh, we don't want that anymore. We've ruined it. They just ruined it. And it's really frustrating because for a little while, I'm not going to lie, for a little while, things were getting a bit better. You know, for a little while, things were a bit progressive. And they're terrified of progress because it means that their irrelevancy will be exposed. And their irrelevancy means they have to get out of the way. and people like me have to edit their magazines or be spokespeople, and they don't want that because, you know, I have no interest in serving their interests. I'm coming for you, Andrew.
I feel like you genuinely are. Like, I think that we're going to finish the recording. You're going to straight out and get him, which is fine by me. You're right about like sort of changing the words and stuff, because it's like things like woke or like political correctness. It's like, political correctness. And it's like, we're just saying like trying to not offend people, or like trying to, you know, just get on with as many people as possible. Do you know what I mean? Like trying to give space to people who need it. It's like, that's all right to do that, you know?
It's the amnesia that really bothers me. It's like, oh, I hate all this woke stuff. Like, do you remember what it was like before? Like, they would literally go to people's houses and put dog shit through their letterbox. You know, like, they would literally say, oh no, you can't come into this facility because of the color of your skin, and they go, oh, this political correctness, you know, all this equality. What are you talking about? Like, when it wasn't here, this was a horrible place. It was a horrible place to live. And now it's not horrible. You must have really loved the oppression. You know what I mean? How much did you love standing on the shoulders of other people for no reason? And they're really showing themselves. And it's frustrating. Like, there's all these debates. There's debates about, oh, should we teach the honest history about people, or should we just pretend they were great? And like, why is that a debate? why is that even a debate? Like, let's talk about Colston in Bristol, or who's the guy? He's got that statue. He's got statues everywhere. Can't even remember. He wants to be that railway through Africa. I can't even remember his name. It doesn't matter. But like, why is it up for debate that we're honest about what these people believed and what their incentives were and what they wanted to achieve? It shouldn't even be a debate or conversation. If you were against that, you're just foul. That's the end of it.
Because it's like with Jimmy Savile, it's like people went, oh shit, he was really bad. Okay, well, let's like remove every scrap of, you know, like, you know, even his grave, we'll take that up. Well, you know, we'll get rid of any mention of him, or like everything. Like, and that's okay. But when it's like someone who like oversaw loads of horrific things in the past, you're like, no, but he built a great shipyard. You know, it's just, it's really weird, isn't it? It's like, he was on a par, if not worse. You know?
We know why. It's because people use the existence of these individuals to justify the privileges they have in life. You know, they use it to justify it. They're like, it was Cecil Rhodes, who I couldn't remember. You know, they're like, Cecil Rhodes was a great man. He colonized the world, you know, these great things. And that's why I'm rich and have all this power. And then if we say, actually, he wasn't a great man, he was racist and he exploited people, and people are exploited based on his actions, that then makes their position untenable. So they have to maintain the myth. They're actually not maintaining the myth of the historical figure. They're maintaining their own myths of their own entitlement. And until we join those dots and we just say, stop being so silly. And that's literally this. I mean, Liz Truss went out and said, oh, you know, I'm not going to, we're going to, she wants to, oh no, it wasn't Liz Truss, it was Nadine Dorris. She wants to put protected status on Cecil Rhodes' statue. Like, for what? For whose benefit? Yeah. You know, what? Like, you're literally just protecting a lie then. And that shouldn't be, it shouldn't be entertained by anyone. It doesn't make any sense for it to be entertained. And people like, you know, and Andrew Leal was very much, I think, at the forefront of all of those ideas. There's a lot of people. I can't even bother to name them. There's a lot of them.
Okay. Well, we're going to have him on the island as the embodiment of those kind of people.
Yes, please. The king of the idiots.
Great. Okay. Now, who's going to be joining him? Who's your second choice?
Okay. So this is with regret. With regret, but it's Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
And it's with regret because I like the man. I grew up on Dave Chappelle. I watched his shows. I watched his stand-up. But I've had enough now, you know? And I don't like the way people who are legendary in what they do with their craft, I don't like the way they use their ability to create great art to just make up politics on the trot about things they know nothing about. And because he's great at comedy, he thinks that gives him the right to say whatever he likes. And it doesn't. And it's almost a bit boring to moan about Dave Chappelle. And I was going to, I can't be bothered. I was going to leave him off the island. But I think it's important to keep talking about this. Like, his last show was not very funny, first of all. Let's take the headline there. It was just a lot of weird, you know, random anti-Semitic stuff, random anti-trans stuff. Really old, boring, not even jokes. Like, there were people in open mic comedy clubs all around this country making the kind of jokes that Dave Chappelle made in that special. And you know what? They're probably even putting those jokes in the bin But you fill up a theatre full of your fans, you can say whatever you like. And I think, I don't like it when old great comedians get lazy and just say, well, you're all my fans. So I'll just say, I'll make agreement jokes. I'll make statements that you agree with because you're as stupid as I am. And I'll laugh and I'll use a laugh as justification. I think ultimately that's frustrating because it's unprogressive. And you can't just be progressive on the things that affect you personally. You know, Dave Chappelle was progressive on race because he's a black American man. He was progressive on class because he comes from a working class part of Washington. So, but you can't just stop there. You can't just say, oh, I'll be ignorant of everything else because that doesn't affect me. I just find that heartless and boring. You know, I'm a fan, but like, I don't like hero worship of people you're fans of. A lot of people just hear, oh, I love this person. Whatever they say is amazing. And I won't stand for that. I would just love these people to just go away and just be brilliant comedians again. You know, why can't you do that? Everyone loves Dave Chappelle. And what can I say? Like, he won't care about me. Not buying 400, not spending 400 quid on one of his shows, but I care more about humans, and I don't think he's being nice to other humans, and that's a problem for me.
And it just seems a bit lazy, sort of. You know, it's like the world's not short of topics you could talk about. You know what I mean? But it's almost like everyone's getting angry about that. I'm going to talk about it too, and it's like, well,
yeah,
like you're an intelligent, articulate comedian. Like, there's so many things you could sort of unpick and have a go at, or like examine, you know, or like, it's sort of like the fashionable thing. It's like going, okay, look, trans stuff, yeah, but wait till you hear my take, and then we'll never talk about it again.
And his take is like, oh, a dog can't be a cat, or whatever. Or that might be Ricky Gervais's one. I can't remember. But it's just also teach, and also a lot of his, well, actually most of his comedy on the issue is based on the proposition that trans rights are in opposition to the rights of black people, which obviously implies that black people can't be trans, which is ludicrous. You know, like, these things are not separate issues. If you champion the rights of black people, you've got to champion the rights of all black people. You know, if you're a pro-black person, and or if you're anti-racist, and that goes for all people from the global majority who suffer oppression in the diaspora. And for me, because a lot of his material is based on that untruth, which is trans rights are in opposition to black rights or the rights of black people, none of it's funny, because I've always believed that if comedy doesn't have truth at its core, it can't be funny, because what are you laughing at? That's the intelligent bit of comedy, like saying something that is an observant truth that no one's noticed before. And pretty much all of his material is like, well, you know, he had this one joke where it's like, oh, if you want to protect yourself from the police and you're a man and you're a black man, walk down the street in heels. Okay, and that's not true, because we know that trans women who are black in America, they literally have a life expectancy of like 50 years because they get murdered. I mean, that's a fact. So that's not true, is it? Like, that's not even a funny joke. Him saying that reveals an unyielding ignorance, and his platform is just astounding. You got paid 20 million to be ignorant. I mean, it's just astounding. Yeah. If I got paid 20 million, I'd read a Wikipedia page on something. You know, I would do something. I would try and base my comedy on something that is going to be progressive. So I hate the way he's become unprogressive when he used to be so progressive. He can see him and Andrew Neil. And that's him and Andrew Neil would get on great.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just the idea. Can you imagine? Dave Chappelle and Andrew Neil would get on great. No, that's wrong. And you know how the world's spinning faster? The world isn't happy with this, you know? The world is like, okay, let's just fast forward time and get to where the sea levels rise and we all drown because I've had enough. Yeah. That's what's happening right now. It's too much.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, having him on the island would be complicated, because there would be parts where, like, you know, he might just, you know, be sitting around a campfire and you're just riffing and making each other laugh. And you're like, oh, I remember why I liked you. But then there'd be the bit where, you know, Andrew Neil's like, oh, you know what? It is nice to get away from all that bullshit back there where you can't say this and you can't say that. And he was like, yeah, I know. Tell me about it. My latest stand-up, I got loads of shit for that. And then, you know, you're just going to be sort of with someone that you used to really respect and like, turned into, and you're going to see both sides, you know what I mean? Because there will be times he's just like going to be a funny guy to hang out with.
Yeah.
But he's still both people.
I think it's okay. I think we have to start having more complicated relationships with celebrities. I don't think our relationships are complicated enough. It's either, I hate this guy, what an asshole, or, oh my God, I love him. And I think actually that's not how we interact as humans, and celebrities are humans. So I'm actually comfortable with with that. I'm comfortable with the idea of every now and again going, oh, you're all right, Dave. And every now and again realizing, oh, no, you're not so much. And that's cool. But that would be a good lesson for me to be reminded of if I was stuck on an island with a guy who's cool sometimes and an idiot the other times. So, yeah, I think that's the way it's got to be. You know, He's going to charm me. He's going to appall me in equal measure.
Well, maybe you'll get to see Andrew Neil's charming cool side as well.
He might be really good at, like, cutting coconuts, you know, or climbing palm trees to get the coconuts. So let's not knock it. You know, he might be really handy. He'd provide good shade.
He would. I can't imagine him climbing a tree though. Like, I mean, his gravity is against him on that one.
Yeah,
I think
so.
Okay, we've got very strong arguments for the first two people joining. Who's going to be your third choice?
This is it's going to be Sharon Davies, who is an ex swimmer. And a very leading kind of member or voice in the kind of gender critical movement in the UK. She's sort of like a Tesco value J.K. Rowling, you know. J.K. Rowling was a bit too obvious, so I thought, let me do the little J.K. Rowling. And she, for quite a long time now, has been banging on about protecting women's sport and all this stuff. But, you know, I'm very much in disagreement with trans exclusion from sport, because there are so few trans people anyway. So few would be in elite sport. This doesn't seem to warrant the conversation that it's happening at right now. But, you know, I understand where people are saying we need to just have a conversation. What I don't understand are the arguments that she comes out with to kind of support her position. And they are wayward, offensive, wild, and she's typing them out and putting them on Twitter, so she's not even like ashamed of them. And I'm just annoyed, because I think one way women can support women's sports, particularly if they're ex-athletes, is to like not be assholes. Because like, this is a woman who could be a role model here. She's, you know, before women really were making money as athletes, before the Dina Asher Smiths and the Denise Lewis's and stuff, she was all we had. Back in the day, it was Sally Gunnell, Sharon Davies, Tessa Sanderson, Fatima Whitbread. You know, we didn't have a lot when I was growing up, but she was one of them. And it's like, if you want to protect women's sport, just like stop sullying your reputation and inspire us to be great and wonderful. And I'm just on a serious note, I think we should always try to make sure everyone can participate. You know, sport is great. You know, whatever your ability and whatever your gender identity, what you get out of playing a sport is just wonderful. Life is so horrible if you can go out and compete and train and have ambitions to be good at it. So it's like, why the intention is never to be on a pathway to inclusion? Why it's like, stop it all, it's terrible. Like, it's not terrible. We can put a man on the moon. We can do some science and make this work, guys. You know, and the toxicity and the resentment and this idea that a woman is a specific thing, when that is, could it be further from the truth? These things are doing a disservice to all women in sport, because it's saying you can only be a woman in sport if you look a certain way. It's saying if you look another way, we're going to question your gender or your sex, your birth sex. It's like, these are things. There are masked women right now who want to play sport who are probably afraid now, because they think to themselves, well, am I going to be treated nicely? You know, how is that good for women's sport? I find it all bizarre. It's not just her. There's a few other voices. She's the one that annoyed me recently. This is, in many ways, it's very unfair. These are all people that just annoyed me the other day. On another weekend, on another day, there'd be other names here. But she's got to go in. And just generally, I don't like the motivations of the gender critical movement, because you're not motivated to include people. They're motivated to elevate themselves into positions where they can oppress people, which is unpleasant to me.
Obviously, these days, there are lots of complicated issues in all kinds of areas of life that you probably should start from a period of like, I don't really understand this, so can we talk a bit more and I'll find out a bit more? And maybe I'll still be the same afterwards. But it never comes from, you never see any working out. There's never someone just going, do you know what? I'm in a position of power. A lot of people are asking me about this. I don't know. Let me talk to some people, have a chat and find out before I'm just like, no. You know, like, I don't understand the world. I don't know a lot of stuff. Like, I come from a privileged position. Do you know what I mean? So I want to hear other people's viewpoints, because, yeah, I probably have some blind spots and I haven't thought of everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of, I feel that this is the right opinion to have, and not, after a period of research and learning and understanding and speaking, I have come to this conclusion. And it's painful. You know, my positions on most things come from, I'm not going to lie, it genuinely does come from a place of study and interest, you know. But I am interested in how a trans person can compete in elite sport fairly, you know. And you only get to understand how that can happen. And also, like, if the scientists don't have the answer yet, why are you going to have the answer? You know, like, they don't know. They have PhDs. They do this for a living. Why would we know anything?
Yeah, and it's not all based on science. It's like, you know, I'm a white heterosexual man. Like I'll probably read something and think, yeah, that does seem like, oh, right, how does that work then if it's been like this before? And it's like, well, then, you know, like, I need to speak to a trans woman. And then maybe they're going to go, well, you haven't come at it from this angle and this is why it's okay, or this is what, you know what I mean? And it's like, until I've had that conversation, I sort of need to just hold back a bit, you know?
Yeah, it's so complex. And also this idea of fairness, like, you know, trans people want fairness too. Like, nobody wants to compete on an environment where they feel they have this. There's a real, that no one says that. No, it's like they're literally, people are literally saying, how can we do this in a way that is understood to be fair? And what's the compromise that we need to make between fairness and inclusion? Because there'll always be some compromise, you know. But no one's saying that. And it's really frustrating as somebody who thinks sport is great and a great healer, and, you know, just the accessibility to participation in it can do lots of good things for communities, I think.
I think it's interesting how often, like, people get angry about the word equality when, like, the very meaning means that everyone's, you know, like, we're all benefiting from it. It's like, oh, women wanting to be equal. It's like, yeah, but that means that, like, you're equal to them as well. It's like, it's okay, it means we're all better off, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I got a theory about TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists, who, and that kind of, that's the movement that kind of started the gender critical movement. And my theory is there was, like, a bunch of white women who used to be victims, like, oh my god, patriarchy, we're victims, isn't patriarchy horrible? Then the word Karen was invented, right? And, well, actually, you're a bunch of Karens, look how you use your privilege to kind of, you hide behind this position you're in under the patriarchy, and then you use it to burst into tears and, you know, get black people arrested. And this is historic, like, you know, it's for centuries, you know, white women and white men have worked together. You know, it's not like white men running around being horrible. It's a united front, and the world got better when both individuals got better, so to speak. Then they're like, oh my God, we got privilege. So then had to become TERFs to be victims again. You know, it was just a way of kind of, like, reversing that trend. So no, we're actually victims of trans women. They're, you know, and it's just, you know, it is, you know, this idea that, you know, men who want to abuse women will pretend to be women to get access to toilets. Those men are abusing us anyway. Like, could you, if that was the case, wouldn't they just be doing that anyway? Like, why would they start? It's just, or like this idea that you should be able to question the gender. Look at someone, you're not a woman enough. You're not enough woman. Prove to me you deserve to piss in this toilet. What? What are you talking? You know, it's just calm down and embrace the privilege. Just embrace it. Enjoy yourselves. Be happy. You know, if you don't want it, I'll have it. You know, I'll take it if you're not going to enjoy it. And so, yeah, Sharon Davies is one of them. Like I said, there's loads of them, but she was the one that annoyed me. She compared drag queens to blackface, which I'm not even going to start talking about why that is just.
I mean, on a more trivial note, it would be useful having a strong swimmer on the island.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that was my other reason. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if you can keep her in the sea, you know, just being useful and be like, oh, is that, I think I saw a tuna over there. Do you like it? Here's the spear. Go on. Off you go. Yeah. And she's just off like a dolphin, you know. So I think if you can just keep her in the water, then you're probably all right. But yeah, I can see how that, especially teaming up with Andrew Neil. So I think,
it's a strong team.
I guess all of them, actually. It is. They'd really, yeah. I mean, you'd get like light and dark with Dave Chappelle. There'd be moments with him that it'd be okay, but then it would flip and you'd be like, ah. But then I think it's going to just cause you more turmoil, because, you're like, oh, I just want a funny Dave again, you know, and like now he's siding with these two and you're just going to have to go for a long walk. And yeah, yeah, so it is a strong team, Athena.
Thank you.
You've really come out fighting. So I think this is great. Okay, now look, we're going to move away from the people now because mercifully amongst the wreckage of the plane, there was some food and drink left over. Unfortunately for you, it's your least favourite food and drink in the world. What are they and why are they so bad?
Okay, so this is a generic one. But it's basically anything creamy, okay? And you know, if you've got childish listeners, they're going to be like, oh, is it Athena? No, be quiet. It's serious I'm talking about. Anything creamy. So, I mean, like single cream, like pouring cream, whipped cream, something like, what's that jelly that's made out of milk? It's Italian.
Oh, like panna cotta.
Oh, horrible, horrible. Anything.
I never thought of it as a milk jelly before.
It's anything milky. Yogurt is excluded, by the way. There are exclusions to this. Profiteroles are excluded. I like profiteroles, but not anymore because I'm vegan now. But I used to like them. But just
they've got cream in them. But I wouldn't say it's like creamy. It's not like a creamy sauce. It just has some cream in them.
I think when you really deep the use of milk in our diet, you know, and we go to a cow and then we milk it and then we make stuff out of that milk. Everything about that is incredibly wrong and not right. We're the only human, we're the only species on the planet that drinks the breast milk of another species. No one does it. Cows that walk around and look at a goat and think, oh yeah, I have a bit of goat milk today, and chase the goat and drink the milk. Like, not even lions. Lions can do whatever the fuck they want. But they're not drinking the milk of tigers. They're like, all right, mate, you're just they've got better things to do. So we do this thing, and it's very, you know, it's obviously over the thousands of years we've done it, it's been beneficial to us and all this stuff. But I never liked cream. My mum used to make me like cornflakes in the morning, and you know, I just stare at the bowl and sort of cornflakes were all soggy, and I stick it in the bin when she wasn't looking. I hated milky tea. I now drink my tea black, my coffee black, but when I was little I used to put like, that was unknown to my mum as a concept, so I'd put like one drop of milk in my tea, and if actually she made me tea and there's too much milk in it, I would refuse to drink it, which would you don't waste anything in our household, so the idea that I would have wasted water and a drop of milk was just appalling to her. So hate milk, anything creamy except for profiteroles and yogurt and butter icing. I like butter icing.
Okay. And then what? Where do you stand on things like, if it's like a creamy sort, like a carbonara or something like that?
No. Any kind of, you know, there's like a mushroom sauce people make and it's like a creamy, why would you do that to mushrooms? Mushrooms are delicious. Why would you then just put cow milk? I'm very against milk in savoury food. I couldn't be more against it. And there's a leadership election going on in the country right now. Someone is going to be prime minister in September, and not one of them has mentioned the use of milk in savoury food. And I'm waiting for it. Like, we've had the Conservatives for what, 10, 12 years? And not one of you is going to talk about this. Why? I watched MasterChef and they're pouring cream into a dinner. Why are you having cream for dinner? What's wrong with you people? This is why we're all going mad.
Talking of talking about the leadership, I've got a theory that a lot of Conservatives go home and are breastfed. especially Rees-Mogg. Rees-Mogg has a wet nurse, I'm convinced. Like, he goes home and there's a special woman in a room. It would be the least surprising thing that if, you know, I just think there's something weird. Like, you know, when people go like, oh yeah, they're all like, there's a like David Icke, like they're all lizards and whatever. It's like, I don't think it's like that weird, but I just think they're all like, there's some like grand conservative wet nurse and she's just sort of feeding them all.
I don't know if Ofcom covers podcasts, but what you just said could get you a lot of complaints. And I think you need to think about whether that makes the edit, because there's a vision in my mind right now. Like, I can visualize it and it's disgusting. It's literally ruined my day. It's done now. My day was already circling the drain. And now the sight of the thought of Jacob Rees-Mogg on somebody's lap, sucking their breast and drinking breast milk. Did you watch The Boys on Amazon?
I haven't seen it.
One of the main characters is very into being breastfed and it's appalling. But he's not Jacob Rees-Mogg. So I could just about stomach that character trait
but
on him.
Part of the reason it's so easy for you to visualise is because it's not that far-fetched, right?
Absolutely not, no. You're right.
I'll distract you slightly from this disgusting topic. What about your drink choice?
Well, I mean, I'm gonna go with something similar to the creamy, any savoury food cream. Milkshake. Obviously, there's a theme here. I'm generally quite a good eater. I like lots of things. But milkshake is just, I've never, particularly McDonald's milkshakes, I don't know what the fascination is with McDonald's milkshakes. It's just thick and full of fat. It's like lard. I remember, I have childhood memories of kind of trying to enjoy these things. And I would just be like, why are you making me drink cold lard? I don't know why someone's making me drink this and telling me that it's a treat. It's not a treat. And like, even at that young age, I could feel my arteries saying, nah, Athena, this ain't the one. This is not the one for
There's
you.
There's a real weight to it, isn't there? Like, you pick it up, it's like got heft.
And you know when you suck it up for a straw, but you've got to suck it out really hard. It doesn't come up easy, like a Sprite. It's just like... Yeah. Like you're trying to, like you've got a blockage in a vacuum cleaner, and you're trying to clean it manually. Not that I would do that, but I'm just trying to search for an analogy that's appropriate. That's how bad and awful McDonald's milkshakes are. That's the analogy. It's just all. I mean, I'd put the whole McDonald's menu outside of apple pies into the food thing, if I'm honest. But a bizarre place.
I think last time I had one, it was so disappointing. I was like the conditions were perfect. It was late. I was a bit drunk. I thought, do you know what? I haven't had one in ages. I'm going to just like have a, you know, like guilty pleasure. I thought I'm going to get a burger and nuggets. And like, and I was eating it and I was like, it just obviously sat there for so long. It's like, I'm sure I could still enjoy a McDonald's now, but it's like, it'd been so long. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, fuck it. Now's the time. And it was just so dry. And then I was like, okay, there's the nuggets. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it was so cardboardy. And I was like, now my guilty pleasure is just guilty. This is rubbish. There's no joy here.
There's no joy. Do you know what it is? It's just like a victory for like the idea. The idea of a McDonald's is like, oh, that sounds like a nice idea. And the pictures look great. And the adverts look great. And it's like, you know, as a kid, you want your parents to take you to McDonald's. But the actual, if you just go and buy a McDonald's, do the exact opposite of what we should be doing. Oh, get McDonald's like a burger. Open it up and look at it. It's miserable. It's literally like food should be something that brings joy, like you said, and makes you happy, and it should satiate you, and you should look forward to eating it. But if you look at that sad little burger that's clearly not bread, it's just bread and sugar. It's not like bread. It's just like, if you could make bread out of plastic, it would look like a McDonald's bun. You know, like toy food that kids play with. You know, it looks like that, and the burger looks like cardboard. It looks like, you know, do you have a food waste bin? Sometimes, like, when everything compacts in a food waste bin, and, you know, that's like what the burger looks like. If you just go into your food waste bin and press it all down into a patty, it doesn't look far off from McDonald's. Then you taste it, and it's no taste, it just tastes of cardboard. It's like, what are you enjoying? You don't even enjoy the gherkin. No one likes the gherkin.
You know when stuff is, like, too good value? Like, when it's, like, food, I have a real problem. You know, like, you go to IKEA, and you're like, sorry, wait, the hot dog's how much? Like, no, like, you know, I'm not being like, that's too cheap for me to eat. But, you know, you just think, when, like, a full meal, like, you know, and they go, oh, that we had to put up the price of a cheeseburger. It's like, that's 20p more than a bag of crisps. Like, and it contains an animal. Like, how the fuck did you get that? Like, okay, like, you need to raise the price. Or something. Like, this is, it's just weird. It can't. How can crisps be the same as a whole burger containing an animal?
I think about this all the time. You know, chicken shops will sell like 6 wings for £1. That's 3 chickens. We're like, and you've taken the wings of 3 chickens and you're like, I'll have it. And you've literally cut the wings off and then you've taken the feathers off and you've packaged it. You take it to chicken shop and you've cooked it and you've served it to me. All of that for £1. I mean, that can't
it's
be
mad, isn't it?
And that can't be right. That's an animal with a heartbeat that could feel pain and could make noise and cared about its parents or they subsequently cared about its children, had a nesting instinct, can feel emotions. And you're paying £1? No, that's absolutely appalling. It doesn't make sense. And we've become so desensitized to the actual reality of what it takes to feed us animals. Like, and it's not even nice. You haven't even treated it with respect. You've just gotten a deep fried it and stuck it in a cardboard box, not even on a plate. You've hit the nail on the head. And when people are like, oh my God, a cheeseburger is £1.20. It's like, it's not, it should be cost £5 to put that. You know, they should, it should literally cost you what it costs you in health. It should cost you in money. Like, instead of the health being the price, it should be the actual cost. A cheeseburger should absolutely cost £1.20. Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, I think you've put a very strong case together for those things being a really bad food and drink for you on the island. Athena, fortunately, you won't be without entertainment on the island. The plane's entertainment system continues to work, but just your luck, it only has two working settings. One is your least favourite film of all time, and the other is your least favourite song. What are they and why?
You might have had this already, you might not. It's going to be Posh Spice and Dane Bowers doing that garage song they did. I think it was called Out of Your Mind.
Out of Your Mind. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A horrific... It was a really sad time when the Spice Girls split up. Not because I mourned their loss, but because the solo singles were just miserable. Although I did like Sporty. Everyone conceded that Sporty had a banger with Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
You know, everyone loves that song. And Mel B did all right with Missy, but she needed Missy Elliott on it, like, on her own.
But it still felt a bit like... It sort of made me like Missy Elliott a little bit less.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? You're like, you don't need this. You don't.
I know that people in, like, you know, the hip hop world do quite often sort of like have a blind spot when they get paid a lot. You know, it's like, I don't think this is doing you any favors, Missy. Like, come on.
And I think that people really wanted Mel B to have some kind of skin in the game, and she, none of them did. None of them were particularly good at music. It was just the Spice Girls were an idea. They weren't musically any good, and this was a toss-up between Jerry's solo single Look at Me, which, like, people who can't sing shouldn't sing songs that require you to sing. That's why Rihanna does amazing, because Rihanna's not a great singer, but she just is such a good song selector, so she knows exactly what suits her and what style suits her and what songs is just gonna... That's why I love Rihanna. I don't really have a problem with singers you can't sing. I just know your limits. But Posh Spice's song, what I hated was the cynicism of it. It was, oh, garage is big now, so I'll just do a garage song. But obviously, they couldn't get anyone with credibility in a garage scene, so they got Dane Bowers. It's sort of like making a cake with I've got toddlers, and they make cakes with sort of mud and ketchup. Mm. And they go, Mom, I made you a cake. And I go, well, I'll go along with this, but it's not a cake. Mm. And that's what they did. They just got these two things that should never have combined. And they made... The song is the closest thing you'll get to noise that you'll ever hear in the music. Like, if you listen to it, it's just noise. It's a collection of sounds all bundled together with a very... Because Posh Spice can't sing, they had to go heavy with the auto-tune. But they had to pretend it wasn't auto-tune, which is the worst way to use auto-tune. So the whole thing, I still remember, Out of Your Mind. That's what it sounded like.
Mm.
People won't know if that was me or a clip from the song. It sounded like that.
I can remember... like the chorus, but I can't remember any other bits of the song. It's like, actually, it's the same with the Missy Elliott Mel B one. Like, I can't remember, like, what the main bit of the song was. I can just remember the hook, and it's like nothing else happened. It was like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, if there's like a heart monitor, there's one little beep and then it's flat again. It's like, what happened there? Like, yeah, it's really weird. Like, I wasn't a big fan of garage around that time anyway. Yeah, it just felt like they've got a load of spare parts on the cutting room floor, and they're like, who's available? Ah, Posh Spice. All right, we need a bloke. Dane Bowers, seriously? He's available. Yeah, all right, Dane Bowers, okay. Like, crank up the auto-tune. And it's like, you know, there was sort of no substance to it at all.
What's really sad is, like, every single member of the Spice Girls at that point had become multimillionaires off of the back of music. It shouldn't have been so shit. Like, this is literally your job. Like, it's not fair that you are allowed to sort of generate all this celebrity and wealth and fame, and you can't even do it. Like, it's not even a thing that you do, apart from Mel C, who we love, because we like that song. So that annoyed me, but I hate the song. It's such a horrible song. It shouldn't exist. The video's horrible. And Posh Spice knew she couldn't sing. She had the power to say no. She could have been like, yo, let me just go make this dress, man. But I don't know why they made her do it. There's nothing more to say, really. It's one of the worst songs ever to have been made in the history of mankind.
You're very right. I can't disagree with you there. And imagine being stuck with that. It's like there's no good in there to find. What would your film choice be?
So I thought very hard about this because there's lots of films that I despise. I have a very short attention span. So a bad film is very annoying to me because films last for at least an hour and a half. But I have to put in The Force Awakens, which would be like the episode 59 or whatever. I don't know. It's one of the episodes, right? Now, there are worse Star Wars movies. They really are. The Phantom Menace might be the worst of all of them, to be fair. It's a horrible film for lots of reasons. However, The Force Awakens goes in because everyone said, oh, it's amazing. It's the best film ever. The Force Awakens is just a remake of episode four. It's a remake of episode four. Everything that happens in it is in episode four. And I get angry over these things. I get angry over serious things. I get angry over stupid things. I got really angry over this because I was in the cinema watching it and I was like, why are you enjoying this? This happened. The hologram bit happened. The whole storyline, they blew up. Mm. I think they even blew up a planet in The Force Awakens, if I remember correctly. I might be making this up.
I'm getting confused. Was it like the first of the most recent
ones? Yeah, it was
ones?
The first one. The Force Awakens was episode six, seven. Because it was 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. So it's episode 7. Now, I'm sorry. People who love this film are let them get away with murder. Because, and you know what really annoys me? Rogue One, wicked film. Why didn't...
Yeah, Rogue One.
Rogue One was bad. Why didn't those three movies, why didn't episode 7, 8 or 9, why didn't they make them like Rogue One? Because they had everything. They had money, they had the actors, they had the budget, they had everything. And they had the goodwill and they copped out. And were boring. And they said, you know what? If you're a Star Wars fan and there's loads of them, we'll just make something like that to be happy. What if you're just a fan of great art? Like me. Why don't you make something? And that's why Rogue One was great, because it was like a lovely story. It was devastating. It had a hot, it had really good, it was great. And if it wasn't for Rogue One, I would probably have set fire to something by now. But that saved me, because I was ready to riot. Wait till Avatar comes out. I might start writing after Avatar 2. Avatar 1 was going to go in, you know. It was going to come in with me to the island, but I had to get this off my chest about The Force Awakens. It is a remake of episode 6, which is lazy. I didn't like the fact no one was saying that out loud other than me. And it's in 100 years' time, there'll be a statue to me somewhere, and it'll be, here is Athena. She said The Force Awakens was a remake of episode 6, and she was right.
So when the most recent batch came out, I quite liked them all. And I remember people sort of getting pissed off at them. And I was just so relieved they were like on a better standard than the other new ones. Do you know what I mean? When it was all like The Phantom Menace and those three, because they were so bad that I just can barely remember it. But I remember being in the cinema watching the second of that trilogy. Mm. And people just openly laughing at bits that weren't meant to be funny in the cinema. So when they came along, I was like, Rogue One, obviously brilliant. And then the other three, I just thought, you know, like, I'm just glad they're back and they're okay. You know, they're all right. But having said that, I can remember very little about any of them. And I haven't really wanted to rewatch any. Like, my wife just recently decided to watch all the Star Wars in order. And she went through like, right. And I was like, you're not going to watch The Phantom Menace and like... all of those. She's like, no, I'm doing it properly. And she was like, yeah, you know, there's bits, I think, like when you sort of have some distance from it, and I think it's not as bad as I remember, still not great, but you know. And I was like, oh, I should sit down and watch them with you. And I was like, no, I'm all right. And I thought I was a bigger Star Wars fan than her, but I'm just like, I feel like I've done that and it's all right, you know.
They're not good movies. You know why? They're about trade. So much of it is, oh, we're selling some spice and they're going to sell this, they're going to take that. And it's like, just burn Darth Vader. When are we going to get good stuff? What's really know about those films is the end of episode 3 is actually quite good, because that's when Darth Vader becomes Darth Vader. And it's like, you're making us sit through 7 hours to get to the good stuff. That's so annoying. I will say one thing. George Lucas come out after The Phantom Menace. He said, you guys are being cruel. These are children's movies. And if you watch The Phantom Menace with that on your mind, then you can say it's passable. But when you've got to look at a film and say, well, let me view this through the eyes of a 4-year-old, that's not good. Mm. that's not a good thing. But I think that they all went a bit, it wasn't a good story. The stories are crap.
But also they're not just children's movies, because some of them are like rated older than children can see. Like they're not all like universal. I think the first few were like U's, and then some of them are like PG. Some of them, like the recent ones, like 12s or something. And like, I sat down and watched the original Star Wars with my 5-year-old recently. He's got a good attention span for films. And I still had to break it up into bits for him, you know, because it's like, it's not a cartoon. It's still like grown-ups and doing stuff. And you had to sort of talk him through a lot of it. And since when do kids like films about trade wars? I mean, it's like...
It's just, but Jacob Rees-Mogg maybe would have really lapped it up. But, you know, and other people, but anyone else. Yeah, it's boring. It was a real, what annoys me is kind of like, what I think it gets to the point where like, when you're like George Lucas or whatever, like you just have an idea and people go, yeah, that's a really great idea. And that's a real shame because those things exist now. And the nostalgia people have over Star Wars and Empire, which I think is the greatest of all of them. I think Empire Strikes Back is such a great film. No one has that rewatchability doesn't exist anymore, like for those films. And that's, well, it's not a shame, I don't care, but I just sort of think they haven't, to not reestablish that nostalgia is a waste of everyone's time. We could have watched other things at the cinema, but I had to watch The Force Awakens, which is just episode 6 with the remake. I mean, it just annoyed me.
Fair enough. All right, Athena, finally, the island is overrun by the biggest dick of all the animals. Which animal is it and why?
Well, we know it's a summer. My doors are open. It's the fly. I mean, I know there are lots of kinds of flies. So, I mean, I don't know how specific I've got to be. The one that is attracted to shit, is that a particular kind? That's the worst of them. Because when it touches you, you think, oh my God, it's on me. And it's probably been on poo. That's horrible. I generally hate the way... I mean, this is well documented. It's boring for me to say. I hate saying it. I just hate the way they fly inside your house, but they seem to struggle to fly out. Mm. It's like watching somebody who can't reverse park. But yeah, that's entertaining. Watch, you know, and sometimes you want to help the fly get out. So you have your tea towel and you'll be running around your house going, look, I'm showing you the window. I'm showing you the window. And they're going and they're just acting like hysterical, stupid animals. Get out and be in the open. When you think about how small a fly is, the noise they make, you know, the noise size ratio is unacceptable. Mm. I don't know what God was doing there when he said no. So I hate flies. They annoy me. They should not be in my house. And I have to live with them on the island now. I've made that choice. I've got to stand by it.
You're right about the noise size ratio because, like, I had to get one out of this room earlier just because I was like, oh, I can't be bothered flapping around trying to shoo it out. And I thought, well, no, because I've got to record and it'll probably be able to hear it when I'm recording. They're like the equivalent of like, you know, those pricks who drive around on like really loud motorbikes or like a car with a really loud exhaust. It's like, and it's, but it's got a tiny little engine. It can't even go fast. But like, it's sort of equivalent of that. Also, I've got a real phobia of maggots.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like summertime, bins outside. Like, basically, from, say, spring to autumn, I'm terrified that I'm going to open a bin and see that. You know what I mean? Because when I do, I feel like itchy for like a day. I just can't think of anything else. And it's, you know, most animals, the baby version is cute. But like the baby version of a fly is a fucking maggot. Like, what are you doing, you pricks?
I mean, that if anything sums up the justification for putting flies on my desert island full of dicks, like, you know, it's a maggot. You're not even cute as a baby. You're a horrible, wriggly little thing that just is just horrible. I'm trypophobic. We've done a few. Trypophobia is when you're just afraid of like holes and organic, yeah, holy things. And maggots and trypophobia go together like chicken and chips. You know, just the idea of them burrowing into things and crawling around and... Oh, yeah, I don't have a phobia, but I do find them incredibly unpleasant, like everyone does. No one likes maggots. You know what I mean? You'll get some people like snakes, and you get fair enough, and some people like weird animals. No one has like a little glass cage full of maggots going, they're my friends. I mean, that just doesn't happen because they're disgusting, because they turn into flies, which is just horrible.
It's one of those things, you know, when you've got little kids and you're trying to not be scared, you don't want to, it's like a spider, and you're like, don't worry, look, it's a spider.
Yeah.
But like... God help me if I have to like pretend to not be scared of maggots in front of my kids. Luckily, you know, you don't see them very much, but it's something about bins in summer. I'm just like terrified.
Oh, but kids are assholes. You know what they'll do? They'll pick up a maggot and start chasing you with it. So you can never let your kids know your fears. This is, you know, never let your kids know you're afraid of, because they will use that against you. And they'll be grown up, right? And they'll want to go out to like party with their friends. And then you'll say no. Then I'll throw a maggot at you. And then you'll be like, oh, go out and play. Like, so don't tell them your fears. Otherwise, that's it. Yeah. That's the end of it.
I remember like going on holiday once with loads of mates, and some of them went fishing, and they had like as bait, they had maggots, and they were just sort of pissing about, like throwing them at each other. And I was like, I've got to back away, but I can't let you know that this is a thing that I've got, because otherwise I'm just dead for the entire. It makes it sound like I hang out with awful laddie people, which isn't the case, but it's like, but so flies, I mean, they're just like their entire life cycle is based on them being a prick.
And they just bother you. Like, you know what? If they wouldn't buzz around me, then I'd be off, but I'd be all right. Just go in the corner. You've got you're tiny. You've got the whole room at your disposal. Just go away. But they don't. What's worse is when there's an open window and there's a closed window and they fly repeatedly into the closed one. I mean, are you dumb? Like, just move a bit to the left. It's
so
clearly there.
So you've got how many eyes? How many, you know what I mean? Like, you see what they see. Like, you know, you go to the science museum, they can see like a million pictures at once. Like, find the fucking open window.
It's infuriating little things. And I don't care if they spread nectar. I think it's just bees. They don't have any, flies don't actually have any use, do they? What do?
I think they sort of probably help things decompose. But I mean, I think stuff decomposes without them as well.
I think so, absolutely. And they're not, whilst it's in my house, it's not doing its work. There's nothing decomposing in my house. You're wasting your time, mate.
Yeah, no, so I'm getting itchy now talking about it. I think it's getting worse as I get older. It's like, you think, oh, I'm over 40 now. I should be all right with this stuff. But no, I'm still awful. All right, well, look, I think on that note, you've picked a great selection of awful things from your island. You've argued them superbly. You know, it's been entertaining and also insightful, which I can't say about every episode we put out, and it's usually my fault. But this has been great. So, Athena, where can people see more of your work?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram, not on Facebook. You know what I mean? I'm over 40, but I'm still a young'un. So, you know, just Instagram and Twitter. Not TikTok. I've got one post and I don't have to delete it. So don't go on TikTok, you'll only be disappointed. But Twitter and Instagram, come say hello, that'd be lovely.
Nice one. Athena, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure.
My pleasure, thank you.
So there you go. That was Desert Island Dicks for today. Now, as I said, this is going to be the last episode for a little while. We've just got to regroup, get some new guests, and fill our schedule with dicks for you to consume once again. So, I don't know, give it a few weeks or something like that, I reckon. Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, in the meantime, do go and book tickets for our live show in October. That would be great. And we will announce the guest properly for that in due course as well. Okay, thank you very much for listening, and I love you all very much, more than you can ever know, and we shall speak again soon. Bye!